Hi, I'm Elizabeth Holliday.
And I'm Madeline Taylor.
You're listening to Coming Out of the Alphabet Soup on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
This piece is part of Rainbow Wave's special programming for Pride 2017.
Normally, when you think about coming out, you think of gays and lesbians.
We wanted to hear stories about what coming out looks like for people who identify as bisexual, pansexual, queer, and trans.
We wanted to share stories that don't get as much airtime, from people whose identities are misunderstood or even thought not to exist.
These stories show how individual coming out is, and the importance of finding one's identity, no matter how that process looks. Before we get to the interviews, Elizabeth and I wanted to share with listeners why we decided to do this project.
All right. I was interested in doing this project because the path for identifying as queer for myself has been fraught with trying to navigate the lines of bisexuality versus queerness and what that can mean and what that looks like. And I found it was very difficult for me coming out and wanting to explore bisexuality, but not really having a lot of precedent for that and not a lot of conversation around it, and sort of in this environment of biphobia that exists, especially around the idea of bisexuality not really being real, or, you know, not really being an option or meaning a very specific thing, and there not really being a lot of recourse for seeing how people have navigated that for themselves and what that means for them and how that influences their life. So Yeah.
Why did we decide to do this project? There's been a lot of talk, especially on the internet, about visibility. And for me, I feel like I've been in the process of coming out for at least 4 years. And I recently came into a committed relationship with a girlfriend. And this is the first time in my life that the people who are closest to me have taken my queerness and bisexuality seriously and believed that it was something that actually existed. And so it's the first time I've felt seen in that way. And for me, I wanted to think about and ask other people about what visibility has looked like for them, if they've found it, why it's meaningful, and how coming out played into it. So that was my main purpose. Also, I get a little bit sick of people talking about the alphabet soup of LGBTQIA2S+ as though it's a burden, and I just think that it's really important to recognize that visibility and activism in those communities didn't stop with the legalization of gay marriage, especially in Canada. So visibility is important, and listening to the stories of folks with really diverse experiences is something that I think is important, especially around Pride, and that's why we went and recorded so many interviews.
Anya and I first met at a music festival 3 years ago, and she messaged me before she chickened out to get involved with the project. We reconnected at Emory Barnes Park to discuss her coming out process. Despite her self-proclaimed shyness, Anya had plenty to share about queerness, identity, and navigating life as a second-generation immigrant.
My name is Anya, and I am a business student, and I work in retail. I am 23 years old. I identify as bisexual, and I've known that since I was maybe 12 or 13, but I didn't really have like a specific label for it, or I guess like a way to translate that to other people until maybe later into my teens, closer towards the end of high school. To me, the word bisexual means that I do see gender, but I am attracted to both men and women. I might not be attracted to men and women at the same time. For example, right now, I think I'm more attracted to women, but that also stems from having really only been in serious relationships with men. I think I've used the term for 6 years. Before that, it was very hidden because I was a very introverted person in school, and when I went to school, it was kind of like everybody had watched too many 90s high school movies. Everyone was very much about the status quo. You had to fit into a box, and if there wasn't a box lying around that you were going to fit into, you needed to pretend you were going to, which I think, knowing for myself, would have been when I was 13 and I was going through puberty. And you'd have like sleepovers with your friends and stuff, but I would have like feelings and I would obviously never act on them or anything like that. As like I've mentioned, I was very, very shy. But yeah, I don't know. I think I always knew, very embarrassing story. I was like surfing around on the internet and like I discover porn for the first time, but I don't know anything about clearing browsing history. And my mom calls me over one day and she's like, honey, like, we need to talk about these 12 hits you have on this website. I'm like, what? That was a pop-up. Like, it must have popped up 12 different times. I did kind of make a point to try to come out to my parents. My parents are divorced, but they both live pretty close to each other where I grew up. And I kind of wanted to come out to both of them because at the time I was seeing a girl, and just like as if I were seeing a guy that I liked, I wanted to be like, oh yeah, like I'm like seeing someone and it's going well and like life is exciting. And I'm usually pretty honest with them and open, and like to me it's like not fun having secrets with them. It's like way better, even if it's not a good reaction, as long as it's something I really want them to know. I think it's just mutually beneficial to be open with each other. So I came out to my mom first, and their reaction was negative. It was negative. She said, no, you're not. And I was like, wait, what? What do you mean? Like, are you speaking for me? And she's like, well, you just don't know yourself. Like, you're so young. How could you know yourself that well? Like, and I was like, well, I didn't exactly come up with this yesterday. Also, remember when I was 13? And she's like, stop. So she basically said that I was going through a phase, and yeah, and that was just kind of the bottom line with her at that time. And then with my dad, I was like, after what I'd been through with my mom, kind of being really resistant to the truth, I was kind of like, oh, maybe I just shouldn't tell him. So I told my stepmom. I was like, I want to tell him, but I don't know how he's going to take it because they, you know, both my parents grew up in Delhi and Calcutta, very different life. Everything is taboo that isn't super by the book. You know, I can't change who they are because I know where they came from. I've been to India maybe 4 times. And it's an extremely male-dominated society there. There's gay pride marches happening there all the time, but with very high risk of violence. So she just ended up telling him for me, which I was very mad about. But I knew that he knew, and I was going over for dinner, and he opened the door and was just like, it's okay, just like come here and give me a hug. Then we just never talked about it ever again. And that's the thing, is that like maybe until I'm in a serious relationship that defies their ideas of how their kids were gonna grow up, that conversation doesn't really need to happen. Most of my friends knew, because anyone I was really close with was gay, or They just knew, because I guess it's like, did you just straight out be like, oh, by the way, I'm bi, or by the way, I'm queer? Or for me, that was never really a thing. That just didn't feel natural. I know people that have done that. They've quieted the whole room down and they've been like, listen up, everybody, I'm gay. And that's cool. Like, that's a great way to get your message across. But I never needed to do that because everyone that gets me they just get it. No one's ever said to me, like, you just can't decide. You just want to have the best of both worlds. Like, I've never really gotten that. But you definitely see that, like, out in the world. And that's people that are, again, trying to put other people in a box. I think that, because I do struggle with anxiety, and I feel like I spent a long time trying to compensate for my anxiety with being in straight relationships, dressing a certain way, looking a certain way, and being kind of fully out now. It's like, I think there's just a lot less stress, honestly. It's not healthy to try to be somebody that you're not. Now I'm at a time where, whether it's in a romantic way or not, I want there to be women around me that we support each other, and, you know, we support each other's art, we encourage each other to be better people. Because I didn't really have a lot of girlfriends when I went to school. I wasn't very popular. I was always kind of awkward. A lot of that had to do with feeling like I didn't know myself enough because I didn't give myself room to grow. But in terms of dating, I really, really struggled with dating girls when I first kind of discovered online dating. And I've never gone on a date with a girl that happened organically, as in maybe we met somewhere or we met through friends. And I feel like that's the kind of thing that there's a lot better opportunity for when you're more comfortable with yourself. I feel like now I'm going to be less worried about, this is a gay date and I have to like figure out how to like handle my first time doing that, and more about, I'm just going to be myself and see if me and this human being get along and if we vibe. Okay, so I'm first generation. My family immigrated to Canada right before I was born. So they have no experience living in the Western world. It's all that I know. And thankfully, Canada is like a very multicultural, supposedly all accepting place, but there's racism everywhere. And then I went to New York a couple weeks ago and I was talking to this girl who's a graphic designer, and she's Indian and she does these very like gender fluid kind of illustrations. But she grew up in India and she speaks the language. And I told her, I was like, I'm so envious of you. You have like the best of both worlds. Like, you're completely adapted to living in America, but you're also like authentic. And she said to me, she's like, no, you just have to make your own lane. You need to get out there and you need to meet other girls that have the exact same experience as you. You're not the only person out there that is having this issue. You just need to find other girls like that. And I'm serious, make your own lane. Like, stop striving for like some authentic Indian lifestyle that you've never had. Just be the new generation of us. And I was like, oh my god, like, bless you. Like, I needed to hear that. It definitely has like elevated my way of like kind of looking at things. And I told her that. I was like, yeah, I know, I'm like a little bit like all over the place. And she's like, don't worry, it's sexy. Praise.
As a podcaster working in queer testimony, Callie Hitchcock is no stranger to discussing the intimacies of queerness for the radio. She met with me at CITR, where she produces much of her own work, to flip the script and share her own story about coming out and navigating biphobia.
I'm Callie Hitchcock, and I'm 24, and I'm a podcast producer, and currently I identify as bisexual. I'm just getting comfy cozy with that. I'm not sure how I feel 100%. In a basic sense, I feel like bisexual is like people presenting as male or female. And I think that can mean, like, to me, it's just like any gender or presentation of gender. So to me, it's not like a man that looks like a man or a woman that looks like a woman. It's not binary to me. I know it's like bisexual, but like, I don't know. It's not that I don't see gender. It's that I like a lot of genders. I think my attraction is based on an interaction that I have with someone. So it's not that I'm like, I still wouldn't call that like gender blind, but I would say that it's like, what's my interaction with this person? Is that creating an attraction for me or not? And then I kind of just go from there. Okay. And I think I'd really just like wished and hoped and prayed that I was lesbian and not bi, which is like, I know, like an alternative narrative probably, but like, I don't want to be bi. I want to be gay and just like call it a day and be done. But it keeps proving to not be true. So I had to just go with it. I had to just be like, this is it. Okay, I'm going to try and figure it out. I'm wary a bit of like the narrative that I have secretly had it in me or something for a while. Like I partly subscribe to that for sure, where like I look back into my history and I'm like, oh, secretly it was there all along. And I think that's half true for sure. When I was 13, I was like, Mom, I think I'm in love with my best friend. And she's like, you're probably just appreciate her a lot because that's what women do. And I was like, okay, never mind. That's, and you sort of implicitly understand that's not okay. Or it's like, you shouldn't be going in that direction. So you just like reverse it and go another direction. So that was when I was 13. And then I met this bisexual person my first year of university, and I was like so enamored with her, and like I knew there was something about her that I was like, that's it, like I something that was like, that's so cool, I'm into it, whatever it is. And I remember like telling her that I was like, I think I like ladies too. And she's like, you should check it out. And I was like, ah, that's so cool. But I didn't end up checking it out for another few years, and I had sex with a woman from, I like went to this like queer night and we had sex, and then I was like, I didn't like that, I'm not gay, I'm fully straight, everything's good. And then a few years later, seriously, this is like the longest trajectory. A few years later, I was like, ended up really liking this one girl, and we ended up having a thing. And I was like, okay, cool, I'm officially like starting on this path. I get it. It's happening. Maybe I was born with it, maybe I wasn't, but I just know that there's a point where I was like, I figured out that I didn't have to like not like women. I couldn't. The wall that was like, you can't like women, was just eradicated. And I was like, now I can do this. I remember when I first started dating this girl for the first time, I was like, I have to tell all my friends and I have to tell my family. And I was like, this is going to be normalized immediately. And so this is how it is. Yeah, I ended up telling my friends, and mostly everyone was cool and it wasn't anything. I got some sort of questions, but I think people were just like curious. And my parents were like mostly fine, or my family's mostly fine. My mom was not really chill with it. We took a break from our mother-daughter relationship for a little bit, and then we came back and we processed it, and I think we're fine now. So that was a year ago. So I'm a little late to the game. I'm kind of sad because I was 23 and I was like, oh, I could have been checking this out earlier. I don't feel like I have a lot of secrets from most people. And I feel like I approach people with a lot of vulnerability, and so that's the kind of relationships I have with everyone. And so I felt like that was a huge part of myself that needed to be communicated, because it was now an important part of my human experience that I needed to share. I'd like to speak on the group of people that I came out to, or the person that I dated, that group of women that I was sort of realizing coming into the sexuality. They were like quite biphobic and anti-femme, and it was kind of masked in this like really feminist casing. That was actually really hard. I think that's why I didn't want to be bi, is because they were all saying that they were gay, even though they had all dated men in the past, just like me. They were all like, I'm lesbian, bi people aren't real, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. So I was like, yeah, for sure. And I think my kind of high school self came out, where I was like, I just want to be accepted by this group. And so I was like, I didn't want to be like found out to be femme kind of thing, or like I wanted to change some of that. I think I would have been more into bisexuality and being femme and like just getting into my own skin a bit if I wasn't coming out with that group of women. I've just been so excited about it ever since. I've like figured it out, or like I've like been able to like allow myself to explore it. Like I've had a ton of fun exploring it. Like I've been reading all of these like queer novels and queer theory, and I got a job related to queer testimony, and I like have this list of movies that I've watched and TV and like websites and events, and I don't know, I've had so much fun exploring it, and it just feels like when I think about being able to be with a woman, I just feel so happy and excited about it. And I haven't even had a ton of experience yet, but I'm just like, whenever I think about it, it's sort of this glowing excitement and warmth that I'm like, oh, I'm so excited to like do that and like learn about it and think about it. This is really interesting, at least for me, because there's so much more getting to play with roles. If it's two women, there's nobody that's assumed to be the pursuer or the pursuant kind of thing. So I've been experimenting a lot with like being more clearly a pursuer, and I get a different kind of personality where I'm like very assertive, and I don't know, I'm trying not to use gendered language here because I don't think it needs to be gendered, but being more, a little more saucy and forward, I think, has been a fun experiment. Terrifying, but also worth it. I feel like I can be more of myself and I don't have to apologize for it. In terms of dating men, I don't have to mold myself to their gender expectations because I can be whatever I am and I can shop it around, basically. Like, I can find dudes that like it, I can find girls that like it, but I'm not like, I don't have to play specific femme roles that don't fit me. I feel like a lot more free in my expression of myself. I think going into being bi, my fantasy of it would be that like my relationships with women would be so much deeper than with men, because I already have such deep connections with women, like more of the time than with men. So I was like, oh, it's just going to be better. And I just found a loophole and no one's ever going to be mean to me because women love each other and never hurt each other. Like, I kind of figured it'd be like sleepover slumber party, like that kind of intimacy, but then also turned into a loving, fun relationship. And I was like, this couldn't go wrong. But that's not true, friends. Just remember, everyone's a person. And sometimes even I, little feminist, have to realize that like some stuff is not gendered. And like, that's just how it goes. There is a lot of biphobia in the queer community that's like really disappointing, and people don't really seem to rally around it that much. I don't know why, but I'd love there to be like bi community or like bi pride. Or if you're friends with queer women and then because you're bi, you date a man, I feel like I should be able to bring a man to those friends or like to hang out with those people, and it doesn't have to be weird, because like, no, if you're accepting me and loving me as a friend and I'm bi, like this is a part of being bi. It's like sometimes I have a male partner, because sometimes it comes couched in like having pride in your identity. If you're gay, if you're lesbian, like I'm really happy that you would have pride in your identity, but sometimes that can couch biphobia. I just want there to be respect for people that like, it looks like you're heterosexual because maybe you have a male partner when you're a female, or if you have a female partner when you're a man. But like I think there has to be some tolerance and understanding around that. And I get that it's not like, it doesn't look fully gay, so like I don't like it. I get that you want to create a utopia of like a gay culture, but also remember that like part of that utopia is someone's bisexual experience, which is LGBT. And if we're going to include it in the B, like we have to sort of make room for that.
Casey Broughton was a complete stranger to me before this interview, and I'm overjoyed that he found me via the internet. Having just finished his first year at UBC in physics and math, Casey hails from Kelowna, and he is an outspoken and confident teenager organizing around neurodiverse community on campus. He met me at CITR to share his story and his insight.
Hi, my name's Casey Broughton. I'm 18 years old. I'm a student at UBC in math and physics, and I identify as cisgender, bisexual, male, he, him pronouns. In terms of bisexual, pretty much all through until grade 12 in high school, I had always assumed and thought that I was straight. And then towards the middle end of grade 12, I started thinking perhaps more towards the term bicurious. I was sort of, I had a very supportive environment, but there wasn't a lot of people around me for me to look to. I mean, like, I've, for instance, my aunt that I actually lived with for my first year in university, she is a lesbian, but it's just, I still felt uncomfortable with it, I think partially just from the inertia of having said, oh, I'm straight for, well, at that point, 16 years. So I sort of was toying around in my head with possibly identifying as bicurious or something in the middle, talking about like being not strictly a zero on the Kinsey scale, but nothing necessarily more specific than that. And then I ended up in university, and some of my best friends in first year were bi or pansexual. And so I started thinking more about how I might choose to define my own identity. And that's when I sort of figured out to myself that I think bisexual is the best term for me. From there, it was sort of a formerly it had been very almost internal process, like a very internal struggle. And then after that, it was largely logistical in terms of finally letting everybody else know and allowing myself to exist in that space. Amongst friends in Vancouver, since about, was it October or November of my first year of university last year? And then I came out to my close family when I went home for Christmas in December. And then actually just almost a month ago today, maybe a little bit more, I came out to sort of my wider network of family and acquaintances on Facebook. For me, I think I'd always identified as straight, and the fact that I wasn't was something I wanted people to know. I mean, for example, I did do it in stages because even though my parents are, of course, incredibly supportive, and like, for instance, my mother was literally briefly on the board of Pride Okanagan in Kelowna, like that sort of thing. And my sister is even braver than I am, or I suppose I should say my sibling, they're sort of between pronouns right now. When they were 10, they came out as a lesbian, and then now they're starting to come out as genderqueer. And so, I mean, in a very real sense, that the path was paved to make it a heck of a lot easier for me, at least within the family. But it still felt more comfortable trying out the identity to Vancouver friends that almost knew me less well as anything else, so that I could see how it felt for me. And then I got more comfortable with it to the point where I was able to come out to my parents and then eventually come out to family members. I would say the main point of confusion that I wasn't expecting that I found interesting is that I personally prefer and enjoy the term bisexual. And a few people asked me why I didn't identify as pansexual. And they're like, well, are you not attracted to non-binary or like people that aren't just in the male-female binary? And I was like, well, yes, I am. They're like, well, why aren't you pansexual? And I found that sort of an interesting, almost linguistic debate more than anything else. Like, first of all, that people would bother being tied up in those semantics. But second of all, the fact that that was even sort of an issue, like I hadn't really thought about it before I came out. Because I suppose simultaneously my family's very supportive, but I personally was not terribly involved in the LGBTQ+ community. And in fairness, in Kelowna, there's a very limited one to be involved in. For example, my sibling helped to encourage the starting of a group for people that are youth or even younger that are kids that are trans or at the very least like not choosing to maybe not identify as their gender that they were identified at birth. And that didn't exist until last year or something like that. And so I felt that as I've come out, I've been trying to sort of dip my toe in more to that community, not just on a like person-to-person basis. Of course, I have plenty of friends and other people, as I mentioned, that identify as something other than straight cisgender, but get into it on a more organizational level. I would say personality does not feel terribly different. I mean, I'm a incredibly nerdy science student, and I still am. But what I'd say is different is that, like, previously in high school especially, and even sort of in my early days in university, I had a lot of social anxiety generally, but especially I have a diagnosis of what is now called mild autism spectrum disorder, but what I will continue to refer to as Asperger's syndrome because I find it to be a much more illuminating term. And a lot of that comes with difficulty socializing in general and difficulty communicating with others easily and social anxiety and other things. And through a lot of high school, I had that. And as a result, had basically nothing even close to a relationship because I was just so socially anxious. And I think certainly a good deal of it was because I moved to university. I was in a new space. I allowed myself to express myself more because I had a wider social group that was, well, being in university, a lot more similar to myself than in high school, where you tend to just sort of be thrown into a group full of students by geographic location. But also, I would say coming out sort of allowed me, made me feel more open in expressing the side of me that I had sort of pushed down for a lot of years, that wanted a romantic relationship, that wanted to have friends, basically. For a while, I can't remember where I saw it, somewhere on Facebook probably, there was the excellent meme of becomes bisexual to double dating chances, 2 times 0 equals 0. And so it felt like that for a while. And then I started meeting some people and I had what I would consider my first real relationship with another male-identifying person after I came out, which I felt was really fulfilling and nice. Me having Asperger's perhaps is part of what kept me for so long from being open to questioning it, just because of that social anxiety, for one. I, as I said, sort of pushed down that side of myself for a long time, and so there wasn't really a need to question the inertia of, I'm assumed to be straight, that's the societal default, I won't bother questioning it, even though I wasn't like it, that basically had no bearing on my life because I was deliberately avoiding social and especially romantic situations for a long time. And I'm also, like, while I can be very fierce in confrontation, like especially if people tick me off or especially if they go after things that I really care about, like my sibling, for example, I tend to be a really non-confrontational person, partially because of that social anxiety. And I think perhaps that almost extended to my own psyche in that I didn't particularly want to confront my own sexuality just because it was easier to just sort of leave it alone and prioritize other things in my life for a long time. It would have been, I think, might have been better for me if I'd come out younger, but I would also say generally, I wish it was easier for people to come out younger because I'm seeing that with my sibling, how it was hard enough for them to come out as a lesbian at 10 and have a lot of people sort of being like, how can you even possibly know that at age 10? Like, well, you assumed you were straight through your entire life. So, you know. And then, of course, now being sort of genderqueer at, they're 12 now. Yeah, 12. Like, I wish it was easier for people because, like, mine, the worst reaction I get is sort of people that are choosing not to say anything, which, frankly, fine. Like, if you're not cool with me, I don't care to communicate with you either. And, like, I've had huge support and also a lot of people just sort of acknowledging that nothing's changed because nothing really has in the grand scheme of things. And I wish that was better for a lot more people, especially my sibling, just because I've seen what they've gone through. And of course, the vast majority of people are very supportive, especially in person. I mean, they've talked, for instance, in Kelowna about they testified to the school district board about having gender neutral washrooms. I wish it was easier, and perhaps I also wish I had their strength because they're doing this out there at age 12. And meanwhile, it took me months or years to realize myself, another few months to talk to my parents about it, and another few months after that to write something to go out to everybody else.
You are listening to Full Spectrum Rainbow Waves on until 7 p.m., 8 hours of Pride-themed programming on CITR 101.9 FM. Stay tuned for documentaries, performances, and music by and about LGBTQIA2S+ individuals. Happy Pride to all our listeners.
Damon Bradley Jang is a local theater performer, instructor, director, choreographer, and PR worker. 6 years after doing community theater together, Damon and I reconnected at CITR to discuss existing as a queer man in communities stereotyped for queerness.
Hi, my name is Damon Bradley Jang. I'm 31 years old. I am a freelance theater publicist, instructor, and performer. And I identify as an Asian gay male. I have used those words probably since my first year of university back in 2004, 2005. I suppose that I, like most people, were pretty repressed with identifying with my sexuality through high school. It wasn't as accessible as it is now in high schools to, there wasn't as much support. So I just took the feelings and put it in a little box and crushed it kind of thing, you know? I probably realized I had some inclinations probably since the time I was like 11 or 12. And I started noticing boys at the time. And, you know, I was in like Boy Scouts and I was in like these very male-centric, dominated things. My parents put me in baseball and soccer. And I'm like, I don't like know why I don't like these things, but I know why I like them, and it's because of the other players on my team. So, but then I thought, like, no, this is weird. This is wrong. Let's just be friends, and I'll repress these feelings. I didn't have, like, a big, like, flashy banner party coming out, per se. I remember the first day of theater school, one of my classmates runs up to me and is like, oh, hey, man, my name's Tyson. So are you gay? And I'm like, and I was taken back a little bit. I was like, he's like, oh, I totally don't care. I'm just like finding out what the position is of all the guys in our class. I'm like, okay, well, nice to meet you too. Like, I guess I'm gay. Like, to my parents, I guess I did it in true musical theater style where I came out in a song during my second year cabaret where it's like I basically talked about, so, you know, love can come in many forms, but sometimes it doesn't follow what society will want, and you just have to love who you love, despite who they happen to be. And so I wasn't super direct about it, but I kind of alluded to the fact, and then I sang my song, and then afterwards, my mom and I didn't really talk about it again until my brother's wedding 3 months later, and then she was like, "So are you gay?" And I'm like, "Yes." And she's like, oh, well, I'm a little disappointed. And I'm like, why? It's like, because I thought you were going to have a family. I'm like, what? And like, I can still have a family if I'm gay. It's like, well, you're always so good with kids. My friends used to tease me about the fact that, oh, you're in musical theater, so you must be gay. But I never thought it was true because, you know, you never really showed any kind of signs. And I'm like, well, I am, so deal with it. I mean, now she's quite comfortable, and you know, in fact, we have a much stronger relationship because of it. Personally, it didn't seem like that big of a deal. I guess when I accepted it for myself, it was just like I was in the perfect place to do it. I was at theater school where it's like, you know, everyone assumes you're gay anyway, so it's just like, oh, okay, well, we already knew. You know, half of the response was like, of course, we already knew, like, the moment we met you, and you're like, okay. So it was much simpler that way just to do it like that as opposed to, you know, had I maybe done it in high school, it might have been more of a ticker-tape banner parade, but I've never felt the need to be flashy or showy with these kinds of announcements. It was more like I opened the door and like slid out as opposed to just like bursting through. The parts of my personality that feel different now that I'm out, I guess because I, a lot of sassy attitude will come out if I have an opinion about something or if I'm like a little inebriated and like this kind of like sassy, like not passive aggressive, but just, you know, very, I don't know. It's just this kind of attitude comes, like this personality comes out, and I guess you would call it like the gay personality, you know, like the sassy gay. That part of myself comes out more, or at least I don't feel like I have to censor it as much. I don't have to sort of check in on like, is my voice being low? Am I, you know, is my masculine physicality, like, sort of in check? As a gay male, I've always identified with being masculine and not feminine unless I was, like, playing it for a part or I was, like, doing it, like, for fun. So, yeah, I guess the biggest part of my personality that's changed was just that attitude shift and thinking of this, like, oh, well, you know, as a gay male, I can get away with saying, like, sassy things and, like, people will just be more accepting of it. It's totally not true, but, I mean, I guess in my head the rationale was that. I look for the same things in men as I did when I was interested in girls, you know? A lot of the same kind of personality and just being, like, kind and authentic and honest and, you know, just a lot of the same kind of qualities just in looks and just, like, you know, people sort of conduct themselves. Really, it's like the only difference is gender. It's funny because there are still times that I will see girls and I really identify with their personality. I'm like, if you're a guy, we would be dating right now. I'm a theater arts instructor, so I teach dance or teach musical theater, and I find that oftentimes the perspective of being a male automatically makes either parents or students be like, you know, Mr. Damon must be gay because he's a dance teacher, musical theater instructor, you know. And there are some teachers that have that persona or that have that energy. And so it becomes this generalization that, like, all dance instructors and choreographers must be gay. The media hasn't helped in that respects. But again, going back to the personality of identifying as just someone who's masculine or feels comfortable being quite masculine. Being queer is not something that defines my personality. Being gay happens to be a facet of my personality or of my lifestyle, but it doesn't change or dominate other aspects of my personality. It's just embedded and become a part of who I've always been. I often find that as an Asian male, more times than not, I'll see things like no Asians, no femmes, no fat people. And I'm like, so you're only looking for, like, an atypical white male that has a good body, which is like 90% of what the media portrays as good looking straight or gay men. And I think that the world needs to see that being gay, being queer, being whatever comes in literally every shade in the rainbow. As we approach Pride, I love everything that Pride sort of embodies in terms of celebration of being who you are and this opportunity to show your bright colors. I find that Pride is a little bit spectacle oriented now, with, like, parades with half naked men and they're on a TD float. I'm like, where are the floats that talk about modern families with, like, two moms and, like, two dads? Where are the floats that celebrate regular trans people? Pride should be about making society accept the normalcy that this is just a thing that happened. I'm not saying that the Pride parade doesn't have regular folks marching, because they do have it, but I'm just saying, for the most part, you'll see big companies have these giant opulent floats with, like, people, like, in glistening body paint. I'm like, does that really serve our community in terms of being body positive and being sort of positive about what should be classified as a gay male or a gay female? And I think I would love to see that in popular media and within our community in Vancouver and the greater area, that we celebrate more body positive LGBTQ relationships and more body positive showcases and, you know, stuff for trans men and trans women. It will change slowly but surely, and hopefully one day it will just be normal and we don't have to have these conversations about being gay and coming out and how you react in society, because it'll just be normal.
Alan Allison was a recent graduate from the UBC program for gender, race, sexuality, and social justice, and she and I have been classmates for the last 3 years. In our early acquaintance, we discussed her tentative feelings around deciding to explore her sexual identity. Today, fully out, she shares the steps that led her to this point.
My name is Allison. I am 23 years old. I am a recent graduate, and I identify kind of interchangeably between queer and pansexual, but lately I've been more gravitating towards queer. For me, pansexuality, it means that I can be attracted to any gender, and I know for some pansexual people, they say that gender doesn't matter for them, but for me, sometimes it does. So the term queer is kind of a more umbrella, general, overarching term that kind of just rejects heteronormative ideas of sexuality. And so for me, I feel like the term queer is a lot more vast, and it can mean many different things at different times. And it can, grow and change with me as I grow and change. When I was 20, when I first started trying to, when I first really started questioning my sexuality, and I didn't really have a term to use then, and it probably took about a year for me to start using those terms. There was definitely moments when I was younger when there was definitely indications, and I actually, thought about it when I was younger, when I was, 13, 14, 15. It was just too scary for me at the time. Even though my family is very accepting of me now, and when I was young, I knew that if I came out, my family would be accepting of me. But I wasn't really confident enough in myself when I was that age. And I liked boys. So I was I really like boys, so I'm probably just straight. But then when I was around 20 and I really started questioning it. And it was scary at first, and it was really confusing. But when it came down to it, when I finally started being comfortable with it, it was extremely freeing. Just to say, this is who I am, and, I'm not straight. I'm not necessarily bisexual, but I'm pansexual, queer. So I have different styles of coming out. If it's just someone who's, older, my parents' generation, a family friend or something where I, kind of want to let them know I'm not straight, I usually just say I'm bi because it's close enough. And a lot of the time I just can't be bothered to go into the whole explanation of, pansexuality and queerness because it's a lot of emotional energy. And just, so much of the time I just don't want to put up with that. And I've come out to, my family, and I did, the stereotypical, cheesy coming out post on Facebook. And I'm really happy I did that because it was getting to a point with, so I was out to my immediate family, my siblings and my parents, for about a year and a bit. But I wasn't out to, my extended family, my aunts and my uncles. And I just didn't really want to, have to, talk to each of them individually. So, the Facebook thing was kind of, the easier way to go, hitting them all at once. So that's why I did that. And I've been really extremely fortunate that, all of my family has been, extremely accepting and very, very validating of me and my identity. I mean, I want to reiterate that I'm, very, very lucky and very, privileged to the fact that, in terms of the people I've come out to, I've faced, very, very little discrimination. But coming out was important to me because I really wanted to be truthful to who I am and my identity. And being queer is such a big part of who I am. I didn't really want to hide that from my family anymore. And I kind of felt like me not telling them was being just disingenuous and not being true to who I am. And I think in terms of my personality, I'm a lot more overtly enthusiastic about queer things. Before, I came out, I didn't always want to do that because I thought if, like, I talked about liking a gay, I'm using, like, air quotes here, like, a gay thing or something associated with, like, gayness or queerness, I would, like, out myself. But now that I'm out to almost all of the people in my life, I feel like I can just genuinely be more myself. When it comes to, like, dating people, I'm just whatever gender the person is, I'm just, like, I like having, like, a upfront and honest conversation about, like, how I identify and how, like, that's important to me. And I think, like, I guess with any relationship, that's an important conversation to have. But if I'm, like, dating men, I like putting that out front right away, like, sometimes almost on the first date, just to, like, make sure that's said and that that person's okay with it. And if they're not, it's obviously, like, I'm not going to waste my time going on another date. So, like, I am on, like, online dating because that's how, like, people meet nowadays. And straight men just, they lack a certain tact sometimes. But then again, sometimes that's also, like, a really good litmus test, I find, especially if I'm trying online dating because I just, on my profile, I say, like, I'm queer. And a lot of the time, just straight men are gross and, like, fetishize my queerness. And multiple times I've had straight men message me and ask me, I quote, "I don't understand the queer thing. Do you like guys or girls more?" So it's a pretty good litmus for having that on, like, a dating profile. There's, like, a stereotypical understanding of, like, what a queer woman looks like, or what, like, a lesbian, I'm using air quotes again, like, what a lesbian looks like. I don't really fit into that. And it can be very difficult sometimes in terms of, like, how I present myself, feeling like I don't look queer enough, whatever that means, or, like, I don't, like, fit in looks-wise enough. And that's something I've definitely struggled with. But lately, I've been really trying to accept my femme side and really, like, I know this sounds cheesy, but, like, letting it shine and just, like, embracing my femness and my femininity, and that really, I get a lot of self-confidence from that. And I'm currently obsessed with lipstick, buying all the lipsticks all the time, putting on lipstick and taking selfies and that kind of stuff. And it's just, to me, it sounds kind of like, to, like, some people, they're like, oh, that's kind of, like, hokey and, like, shallow and not important. But to me, it's like, it is really important because it's, like, an important part of who I am and how I express myself. And, like, in media and just so much, like, queer femme women don't get, like, recognized and don't really have that visibility. And I think it's, like, really important to, like, reclaim that and, like, take up that identity for myself and present that identity however I want to present it. So I identify as queer, identify as femme, and identify as someone who has multiple invisible disabilities, one of which is that I am blind in one eye and I have chronic pain. And I mean, I acknowledge that, like, I am physically able-bodied and I have a lot of privileges that other people who are living with disabilities don't have, but at the same time, some queer environments are really not conducive to people who have disabilities or, like, varying abilities. So sometimes it can be a bit difficult. There's, like, a pretty big, like, queer party scene within Vancouver. And, like, a lot of the time I just really don't find those spaces accessible to me. So a lot of the time I just, like, have to, like, miss out on that. And that, like, really, it really sucks, but, like, I have really a lot of friends who, like, I can hold other spaces with and spend time with them in other ways, and, like, that is what I hold as important to me.
Noor was one of the first people to respond to my Facebook post asking for contributors, which was no surprise given her vocal activist engagement locally and on social media. Noor and I met during a production of the Vagina Monologues at UBC 3 years ago, where she currently works with the AMS Sexual Assault Support Center.
So my name is Noor. I am 27 years old, and I work at the AMS Sexual Assault Support Center, and I identify as a queer, femme, Muslim, Arab woman of color. I think queer for myself is like really an all-encompassing term. I think it allows for folks with like multiple oppressions to be able to experience their differing identities in a way that maybe wasn't allowed before. I think like when, like for me, myself, when I hear words like lesbian or gay, while I sort of still identify with them, I think always of like combating heterosexuality, and that's not necessarily how it works for a lot of people, and a lot of people who don't fit into the gender binary don't necessarily see that as words that they can use for themselves. So for me, like, talking about queer is not only a reclamation of a word that was used to hurt people in the LGBTQ community, but also a way to hopefully work towards being an ally of people who don't fit into the gender binary, and people who don't fit into whiteness and white, like LGBTQ sort of Western ideas of being queer. And so queer is so much more than just gay or lesbian. And so I think that for me, that's why it's important to be like a term for me to use. In general, femme is like a reclamation of quote unquote feminine style, feminine icons, like the idea of feminine, but reclaimed in a queer sense. So reclaimed in a way that is empowering and positive and enables all genders to experiment with femness and femininity in a way that I think we're not allowed to, or maybe not allowed to, but discouraged from doing. Especially like internalized femphobia really exists in the queer community and in the, you know, in the real world. And so for me, femme was really about just reclaiming those parts of myself that I thought I wasn't allowed to express or wasn't allowed to enjoy. And it ties back into also being Arab and just like having the ability to express myself in a femme way, but also expressing it in an Arab femme way as well. I've probably used these words for like 3-4 years now. I think I really came into them in my mid to late 20s, just because what we're exposed to is just very white LGBTQ sort of ideas and like mainstream ideas and media and all of that is all just very like lesbian and gay and bi and which are great, again, great terms, but like I want more. I want all the oppressions to be recognized and identified. I thought it was at 15 when like a friend of mine had come out and she said that she was bi, and I was like, oh, I wonder if I'm bi. Like, I don't know what that means. Like, what does that mean for me? Like, I'm Arab, I'm Muslim, I can't be bi. But I was thinking back to like when I was like in my early teens and just like really being obsessed with this one member from S Club 7. And I just remember like being like, oh, I love Joe. She's just the greatest. She's just the prettiest. And I just was thinking about that the other day. And I was like, oh, my God, I knew I was queer a long time ago. I just didn't want to recognize it. So I mostly came out to my high school friends when I was around 16, 17, like around that time. I didn't come out to my parents. I'm still not out to my parents or most of my family. My brother knows, but the rest of my family doesn't know. And I did it in like a, oh, I think I'm bisexual. Like I did it in a way that I didn't really recognize what my queerness meant or what it was. Like, I didn't know. And I think it was just like this suppressed idea of like, oh, if I say I'm bi, then I can still be straight and I can still be okay with my parents, which is like all kinds of messed up. But yeah, so my high school friends knew when I was about 16, 17. And then from there, like, I moved to Kuwait and I had to come out all over again to some folks. And so it was hard for me to decide whether or not I wanted to come out in Kuwait, mostly again because there are a lot of ideas about what it looks like to be Muslim, to be Arab, and be queer. But I did end up coming out, and I actually had my first relationship in Kuwait, so like it somehow ended up working out. And then when I came here, I just decided that I was gonna live openly. Like when I moved to UBC, I was gonna just live openly and be who I was. People were very supportive. I think I was mostly surprised by coming out in Kuwait and having folks be supportive. And while I didn't come out to, you know, the entire, like, my entire class or anything like that, the people that I did come out to, the people that I hung out with, the friends that I had were very supportive, were very loving and had my back. And, you know, in the beginning, they, like, made jokes and they were like, I can't believe you didn't come out to us from the beginning. Can't believe you thought we wouldn't have your back, which is, like, again, just an interesting idea of what we have, the ideas that we have about being Arab, being Muslim, being in the Arab world and being queer. People are supportive. People are more supportive than you think that they will be. While I think that coming out is super important, I also recognize the dangers and the safety concerns that some folks may have in coming out. So for me, it's really about, am I going to sever ties with my family and is it worth it? And so that's been a huge process that I'm still trying to figure out in my late 20s, you know, whether or not I want to sever those ties. And while I don't think that they will be severed forever, I do definitely think that it's going to be like a work in progress to rebuild relationships. And I don't think that my relationship with my family will be what it used to be or be what it is now. But it's a learning process, and it's something that I'm working on currently. You know, I've made the decision that I will be coming out at some point in the next, you know, year, two, three, five, who knows? It's going to happen. I just have to kind of recognize that it's okay to take my time and it's okay to seek help and to surround myself by chosen family who is going to accept me for who I am and is going to love me for who I am. I think for me, like, being Arab and being queer is, like, actively trying to surround myself with people who are Arab or Muslim and queer, just because the mainstream queer community, I'll say, in Vancouver, is very, like, white and cisgender. It's been difficult trying to explain my feelings to people. And it's not anyone's fault, right? It's my own lived experience, which people haven't had. And so surrounding myself by people who have had similar lived experiences or the same lived experience has been the most emotionally eye-opening experience for me. I didn't know that by surrounding myself with people who are Muslim and Arab or Muslim or Arab and queer can be so healing. And I think that that for me is like sort of where I'm seeing my relationships going or investing in relationships that kind of look like that, just so that I can heal the trauma that I live with and trauma that I'm only just now starting to recognize that I have. There are no walls, right? Like, that's the thing. There are no walls in my relationships with my friends. Like, it's open and it's honest and it's heartfelt and it's hard sometimes and you cry sometimes and it's great and it's fucking awesome. Because my family doesn't know, they're like, I've been dating my partner for 2.5 years and they don't know that. They don't know that I have a life here. They don't know that, like, I'm thinking about future and marriage and kids and house, and they don't know any of this. And so for me, the biggest part is like when I go back to visit and my mom is like, so marriage, when is that going to happen? So that's really been the biggest struggle for me, the disconnect of sort of two worlds. I think I just want to say, like, it's okay not to come out. It's okay to take your time in coming out, and that coming out looks different for everyone. And no matter what your journey is and no matter what your coming out story will look like, it is valid and it is real, and own it. Again, I'm 27 years old and I'm just recognizing all this stuff. Like, I can't even imagine what people who are older, younger than me going through right now.
In early June, I did a call out on Facebook asking if anyone in my network wanted to share their story of coming out. Josie was the first person to get back to me. She is an artist and activist who lives off of Commercial Drive. When I arrived at her character home for the interview, her cat made sure she was the center of attention. We settled into her living room to chat.
My name's Josie Boyce. I live in East Vancouver, lived here for a long time, and I'm one of the organizers for the Trans March happening August 4th. I kind of do, what do you call, I guess, you know, Jane or Jack of all trades. I do a lot of poetry. I have 3 poetry books and that I've published, and I have a memoir, and I also do painting and graphic design. So I do a lot of different artistic endeavors, I guess. Started writing poems in college. I took a creative writing course. I always went to open mics. You know, the first time I did it, which is in Winnipeg, I was just a big ball of sweat. And it was also in the 90s, very much in the closet, trans-wise. And a lot of it, especially if you look back at some poems I thought that were not about that, actually are about being trans. So I had a lot to say about that and a lot to work out. And then I found, as I've aged, I kind of sort of just want to have prose about that. Very early on in my probably late teens, early 20s, I started identifying as bi or queer. That was the time, I'm old, that was the time that, you know, queer started becoming a word that was more acceptable usage. People self-identified as opposed to having it be a slur. And I'd always sort of, my whole life, you know, known I was trans, but, you know, as a kid, I didn't have the language for it because it wasn't there. Right. You know, there were just like sensationalistic stories of transvestites in the National Enquirer and stuff. Right. That was the only thing I knew. Stories of forced feminization and stuff, or horrible, you know, serial killers in movies. Right. So, you know, you kind of don't want to be that. Right. You know, but as I got a little older and I did more reading, you know, I definitely read up on stuff, and I started, as soon as I saw the word transgender, I was like, OK, that's me. And, you know, I started coming out to friends and family in my early 20s, and nobody really understood it. Like, I talked to my mom a few years after I first came out to her, and she was like, oh, I thought you were telling me you were gay, you know, because she just didn't have any understanding of it either, even though I explained it. I grew up actually in New Brunswick, in the 70s and the 80s, and then I moved to Winnipeg for university in the 80s. And for me, it was, I really came out here because I wanted to escape the sort of persona that I developed to pretend I wasn't trans, which I had in Winnipeg, and I didn't feel like I could do it there. I wanted to go somewhere new and start over. Right. But it still took me a long time. You know, I've only been transitioning really since 2012. So I sort of was in and out of the closet over the decades since. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, always almost transitioning, but not quite where I wasn't ready. When I first got to Vancouver, there was an elder trans woman who started a transgender support group. And because she was using that terminology, I went. And that really helped me sort of at that time be able to come out to my mom and some of my friends, because I had sort of a little bit of a support, you know, in the community. And that led me to, you know, like going to the old gender clinic on Heather Street, and where there was so much gatekeeping, I wasn't able, like I couldn't, I started to transition in 95 and I had to stop because there was too much gatekeeping, too much psychiatry, and now there's not. To physically transition, you know, as they would have put it, you needed to talk to a lot of psychiatrists, not just one, not just once. And there was the whole thing then of the, you know, you had to live as, you know, live as the other gender because they only considered there to be two. You couldn't, like, I would tell them that I would mention being bi, and the psychiatrist literally were telling me like, oh, you shouldn't say that. Right. Because, you know, they wanted you to be this version of a woman that was, you know, maybe 20 or 30 years out of date. You know, I was only 29 years old and I was wearing kind of sexy clothes, and they're like, you should be maybe a little more conservative. And I'm like, I'm not even 30, you know, like. Yeah, for me, it was just, there was too much psychiatry and too much, like, just, you know, having to justify yourself, right? You had to prove it. Mm-hmm. When I came back from Japan in 2005, I came back specifically because I wanted to start transitioning. But when I got back here, you know, it was my old friends and my, you know, old lifestyle. So I sort of fell back into that and didn't. And I got really heavy, very unhealthy. I was drinking a lot of drugs. And I ended up in the hospital with a ridiculous high blood pressure. I had a bit of a cardiac infarction, or whatever they say. And that kind of, you know, really threw me for a loop, and, you know, I could have died. And so then I said, okay, I'm going to at least start the process, right? So I want to talk to a doctor about it. And my doctor at my clinic didn't know much about it, but, you know, referred me to the current gender clinic was at the time. And this is late 2000s, like 2008 or something. It took me 4 years to get an appointment with a gender specialist. And literally the day that I got the phone call, I'd been waiting for 4 years, and I'd called many times and left messages myself. I got my doctor to write about like 5 or 6 letters, right? And just could not get a response, right? And I was feeling kind of cursed, like, am I just falling through the bureaucracy, or is there that big a wait list? And so they called me, but literally that day I was going to go home and kill myself. I was that depressed. I was starting to really be a jerk at work. And, you know, my coworkers were calling me out on it and stuff. And I just was like, I had enough. And I got some beer and some pizza, and I was going to go home, have a nice dinner, and then get in the bathtub and slip my wrists. And when I came home, before I even had the beer and pizza, I saw there was a blinking light on my answering machine, which I still had one of those old answering machines. It was blinking light. And I picked it up, and it was the gender clinic calling and saying, hey, you can get an appointment in January. Call us tomorrow. And if you get this after 6, which it was, and we will set you up an appointment so you can talk to a specialist. And I was like, oh, okay. So I didn't kill myself, but I still ate the beer and pizza. And the next day, I was much brighter and happier at work, and I kind of talked to some of my coworkers about it. I explained this without talking about suicide, I don't think. But I talked to my coworkers about what my stress was, right? And they were very understanding. And then and I called right away in the morning when I got up. I don't know that I slept. I called and, you know, set up an appointment for early January, right? And I just did it. I had nothing really but positive experiences with that, you know, like maybe a few weird things, but like, and I transitioned really in public working at Black Dog Video on Commercial Drive as the manager. Probably the best feedback I ever got was from, there were 2 or 3 older than me ladies who came in and were kind of like, oh, well, you're wearing dresses now, you know? And I explained to them whatever, and they'd be like, wow. Well, you know, I want to tell you that, and I had this happen 3 times. Somebody said almost the exact same language. I want to tell you that you're a much nicer woman than you ever were a man. It's like, oh, thank you. It was really difficult because I think most of the time I was sort of, whether I was dating a man or a woman or somebody identified as one of those things, you kind of went with the assumption that they had that you were just attracted to people like them, right? Because just to bring it up, when you first start dating, a lot of people scare you away. And literally anybody I dated long enough and I sort of came out as trans to them, ghosted before it was a term, you know, just no more contact. People just left. One woman left the city. She went back to Calgary.
Oh my god, that's drastic.
Yeah, I used to go to gay clubs, but I went there just to see the drag queens and stuff, or trans people who were around, and talk to them. Mm-hmm. You know, it was easier to pretend to be straight, actually, as much as maybe the sex was fun. Mm-hmm. The culture of it for me was just like, okay, I don't fit in the cultures I've tried at home of being straight. I didn't fit in being gay. I didn't fit in because all that stuff was conflated in, even in my own mind, with gender. Right. And I had to get that sorted out first before I think I could really understand my own sexuality. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I